On a blog that I read called Jesus Creed, it's written by Scott McKnight, he relates an incident out of his life, and I wanted to share it with you. He says, in high school, a friend of mine, well known for smoking pot and into other mind-altering substances, invited me to a place where a new Bible study had formed. I was a crew-cut wearing athlete who had never toked up or even tasted a drop of alcohol of any sort. The rumor was out that this new Bible study was on, so I went. And when I got there, it was patently obvious to me that something was weird. The first thing said was, "Jesus is groovy." And from there, it all fell apart. This group had combined being high on pot with being into Jesus, and Jesus had become groovy. Jesus was one of them. An extreme example, perhaps, but there's a tendency for everyone to capture Jesus into what matters most to each of us. Thus, Republicans and Democrats, Baptists and Presbyterians, religious pluralists, and Lone Ranger religious nomads want Jesus to be like them. It's pretty easy. You just find a verse or two, conjure up a few justifications, and presto, Jesus is what we want him to be. As I read that, it reminded me of an incident where my children, when they were much younger, went shopping at a place called Build-A-Bear. Have any of you ever been to a Build-A-Bear? Okay. If you're not familiar with Build-A-Bear, basically your child goes in and they pick this stuffed animal, a bear. It doesn't have to be a bear, but let's say it's a bear. They pick this stuffed animal, the one that they want. They're able to fill it with as much stuffing as they want in it to have it as firm or as soft as they want it. They pick out whether they want it to talk. They put a little thing in the hand to make it talk. They figure out what kind of clothes they want it to wear. And then they get to take on this bear after parents or grandparents have paid big bucks for it. Well, as I read what was written in that blog and I thought about that, it became readily apparent that we live in a society where there's a build-a-Jesus attitude. Taking that Build-A-Bear concept, taking it over to Jesus himself. We pick the kind of Jesus we think we'll like, and we stuff him with just enough theology that it makes us feel good. We dress him the way we want, and we take him home. The problem with that is that the Jesus that we build may not even remotely resemble the Jesus who is. And that's critical. The Jesus that we create for ourselves may not look at all like the Jesus who is. You see, people tend to like Jesus, at least how they've come up with him, how they've concocted him, the way they view him in their own minds. They like him. Recently, I found a website that was offering items like the Jesus action figure. I don't know if you can read that, but I'm going to read it to you. It says, everyone has a different take on Jesus. Muslims saw him as a prophet. Buddhists say he was enlightened. Hindus consider him to be an avatar, the incarnation of a deity in human form, while Christians hail him as the Son of God. But wherever your theological compass points, you will agree that this is the coolest action figure since G.I. Joe. Now, I want you to notice what this Jesus has. Each hard plastic Jesus action figure is 5 inches tall with posable arms that reach toward the heavens and wheels in his base for smooth gliding action. You ready to order one? But it gets better. They also have the divine miracle Jesus action figure. Here he is. There's no action figure that says deserving of a deluxe edition than the Jesus than the Son of God. This 5 1/4 inch, see, this one's actually 1/4 inch taller than the other one. Okay, the 5 1/4 inch tall hard vinyl figure comes with 8 amazing plastic accessories, including 5 loaves and 2 fish. Or it also comes with a jug for turning water into wine, which is not guaranteed to work, just in case any of you were wondering. And the best part, it features glow-in-the-dark miracle hands. I've ordered a dozen. You know, I look at that and I kind of scratch my head. I understand what what they're trying to do. They're trying to get children to shift their attention from Barbie and G.I. Joe to Jesus, which is a good thing. But is this what Jesus has come to? It's funny, but it's also sad that we have a Jesus action figure, a Jesus that we can pose and make do what we want him to do. And we as adults, unfortunately, kind of have that same attitude about Jesus. You see, there are all kinds of opinions about Jesus. Even this ad recognized that. Some people believe that Jesus never existed at all. Other people believe that he existed, but he was a good man. Maybe got caught up in a bad situation, but he certainly wasn't the Son of God. Some say that he was a prophet. Others would say that he was a magician. Some kind of, you know, sleight of hand miracle worker. Others would say that he was a highly enlightened person, kind of like a Buddha. There are a group who think that he was a space alien. And they're serious about that. There are all kinds of opinions about Jesus. There are even these crazy people who believe that he was the Son of God and the Savior of the world. There are all kinds of views about Jesus. Such a variety of opinions, I don't guess should surprise us. This is a fairly recent cover of Time magazine asking the question, who was Jesus? And a collage of different images of Jesus that have been pieced together to ask that question. But it's not just a modern question. It's a question that was asked centuries ago. Even when Jesus trod the dusty roads of Judea, there were different opinions about who this man was. This morning, we want to look at a question that Jesus asked. We want to look at an incident that took place where Jesus confronts his disciples with the varied opinions and then kind of throws a hand grenade into their foxhole. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. We're going to look at verses 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you're Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. When Jesus asked his disciples what the opinions were of him out there, those opinions were varied as to who Jesus was. Some said he was John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Herod Antipas, the leader, the governor, was one of those who believed that he was John the Baptist. Now, how did he come up with this? Well, Herod had had John beheaded, and he was a little paranoid. And so in Matthew chapter 14, we read this. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist," talking about Jesus. "He is risen from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Some, I don't know how many, looked at Jesus and said John the Baptist. And evidently, since this is the first thing out, this must be kind of a common understanding among some. Others said that this is Elijah. Elijah was considered the preeminent prophet, and there would be one who would come who would be like Elijah before the Messiah came. And so many looked at Jesus and the authority with which he spoke and the miracles that he did and said, this must be this Elijah character, and after him will come the Messiah. Others said, no, he's Jeremiah. He's come back. If you don't know anything about Jeremiah, he was also a prophet way back in the Old Testament. He was a suffering prophet. He spoke authoritatively God's word, and he was not accepted. He was rejected. He went through a tough, tough time. You need to read that book and see all that he went through. And Jesus was also coming and speaking authoritatively and doing powerful things and being rejected. And so this must be Jeremiah come back to us. And then there was this generic answer. It could be one of the other prophets. Just be one of the prophets. There was a thinking in that time that before the Messiah came back, that there would be this whole string of prophets that would come, and that Jesus must be one among those. It's kind of key for us to understand this, to understand that the crowds, many of them had heard Jesus speak. The crowds, many of them had seen the miracles that he had performed. But even though they'd heard what he said and saw what he did, they did not immediately embrace him as Messiah and Savior. In fact, many of them never embraced him as Messiah and Savior. And if it was at that time when people actually heard him and saw him and didn't embrace him, then it really should not surprise us that in our time in which we live, that people can come up with all kinds of concepts of who this Jesus could be. It's not surprising then, it's not surprising now. We tend to want a Jesus with whom we're comfortable. After garnering those opinion polls, however, from the disciples, Jesus then tosses a grenade into the foxhole. In other words, he asks them a question where there was nowhere to run and nowhere to hide. But what about you? We've talked about what everybody else thinks. But what about you? Who do you say I am? The disciples had been with him about 3 years. They'd heard him. They'd seen him. They got to know his heart. What about you? Who do you say that I am? To be quite honest, this is the most important question in all of human history. It is certainly the most important question for your life. Who is Jesus? Who do you believe Jesus to be? Is he for you a good man? A good teacher? Is he for you a prophet? Do you believe that he is simply an enlightened soul? Or perhaps there's someone out here who's saying that maybe he's an extraterrestrial. He's from outer space. Peter, the disciple who was very brash, very often spoke without thinking, he was the first one to answer the question. His boldness, though, led him to the right answer. His answer was very simple. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. There were lots of opinions out there. Men and women held opinions about who Jesus was, but they did not affect reality. Opinions don't affect the truth. They didn't then, they don't now. The question is not who do the crowds say Jesus is? The question is, who do you say Jesus is? That's the question. That's what the disciples had to struggle with. That's what you and I have to struggle with. Peter's answer was spot on. Even though he did not fully understand all he was saying, he was right. Christ means anointed one. It is a Greek term. The Hebrew equivalent would be Messiah. He said, "You are the one for whom we have been waiting. You are not a forerunner. You are not merely a prophet, and others are going to come along, and then the Messiah. You are him. You're the one we've been waiting for. You're the Messiah. You are the Christ. Not only that, but you're also the Son of the living God." Now, that can be a messianic title, certainly, but in Peter's declaration, he was stating something more. You see, Peter, through the power of the Holy Spirit, had been able to see something in Jesus that other people who saw and heard the same things missed. He was able to recognize that Jesus was human, but he was beyond human. And he didn't fully understand it, but he knew it to be true. That even though you and I are all sons and daughters of God, that Jesus was somehow uniquely God's son. Even though they had been in the presence of John the Baptist, a great man, a powerful teacher, someone who really rocked the boat, they recognized that Jesus was far greater than even John. In other words, Peter got a glimpse, however small, in the fact that Jesus was the unique, one and only Son of God, Messiah, and Savior of the world. He was able to see what Paul later writes about Jesus, that God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. He was God in the flesh. Peter was declaring Jesus to be divine, to be God. That's pretty bold. That's pretty powerful. Now I want you to notice Jesus' response. He did not say this, "Peter, calm down. You're going off the deep end again. You're taking this thing a little bit too far. Peter, you need to understand, that's not me. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the promised one. I'm not the Son of God. Peter, you got it all wrong one more time." That is not what he said. Notice what he says. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. This is not something you glean by listening to the opinion polls or by listening to your little group of disciples here. This is not something you came up with on your own. This is something that was revealed to you by my Father." This is God's work, opening your eyes so that you can see something that others have missed. Now, with the gospel accounts that we have, the written records, with the writings of the early church fathers, with the writings of early historians like Josephus, Tacitus, Suetonius, and with other first century records, there is ample evidence that a man named Jesus from Nazareth lived and did great things and died on a cross. We can argue with certainty that there was a man named Jesus who lived, died, and perhaps rose again. There's ample evidence to know that he was there. But to step over the line from saying Jesus is a remarkable, persuasive, powerful man, and perhaps even a prophet, to saying that he is the Christ and the Son of the living God is a huge step. To take that step from saying he was a good man, he was a prophet, he was a miracle worker, to take that step to say that no, he was the promised one, he is the Son of God, is a huge step, and not everyone takes that step. In John chapter 6, Jesus is addressing the crowds. Remember, there's all kinds of opinions about who Jesus is in the crowds. These people had come looking for a miracle. In fact, our indication from John chapter 6 is they were looking for another guy like Moses, another deliverer. And they were asking Jesus to feed them. I guess they were expecting bread from heaven. They were looking for that kind of big miracle, and Jesus refused to do it. In fact, he says this, "You have seen me and still do not believe. You've seen everything I've done, you've heard everything I've said, and yet you still do not believe." Many saw and heard Jesus, but they couldn't bring themselves to take that step of faith to embrace him as Christ, as Messiah, as Savior, as the Son of God. You see, instead, they had this image of Jesus. this picture of Jesus that they had concocted, their own build of Jesus, what they wanted him to be. And because he refused to be what they wanted him to be, John chapter 6, verse 66 says, many turned from him and followed him no more. Many people who were there in the crowds at that point when Jesus said, nope, I'm not going to be your Jesus, I'm going to be who I am, they turned back and followed him no more. They had a Jesus pictured, a Jesus crafted, a Jesus shaped, with which they were very comfortable. A Jesus that they liked. A Jesus that they had built themselves. They had stuffed him with their kind of theology, and they were ready to embrace that Jesus. But Jesus said, that is not who I am. I am the bread that came down out of heaven. You need to take me, not the manna that was in the wilderness. If you want to live, truly live, the people who ate that bread died. But if you take me, you'll live. And the people said, we'd rather have the bread, Jesus, and took off. Now I want to ask you a question. What is God doing in you right now, this morning? Is he drawing you to the real Jesus, the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior, the Son of God? Is he calling you away from this image that you have created yourself of who Jesus ought to be? A Jesus who fits very comfortably with your lifestyle. A Jesus who will tag along with you almost anywhere without cramping your style, without getting in the way. A Jesus who's always there to bail you out, but who never has any demands on your life. Is that your Jesus? Is that who you have embraced in your life? There is a Savior. His name is Jesus. And he's not necessarily who you want him to be, but he is who you need. He is the Son of God, born as a baby in a stable in Bethlehem, who lived a perfect, sinless life, teaching truth and proving by the miraculous powers that he had that he was who he said he was. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see. This is who Jesus is. It is this Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes through the Father except through me. It is this Jesus who willingly went to the cross and suffered and died and bore the sins of humanity so that you might live, and who rose again to victory, opening the way for you to have life. This is who he is. So the question is, are you willing to trade in your dime store Jesus for the real thing? Are you willing to trade in your build of Jesus for the real thing? Are you willing to trade in your plastic Jesus for the real thing? I'm here to tell you that the real thing is here. Jesus is here. And he is calling to you. He is speaking to you even now. The Spirit of Christ is working in you, calling, drawing. God's Word says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Very often when God tugs at us, we tug back. Very often when God reaches out to draw us to himself, we draw back. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Answer. Here I am. I'm coming. Get rid of your dime store Jesus. Receive Jesus for who He is, as Savior and Lord of your life. And if you who are believers, who embrace that Jesus, if somehow you have traded that precious Jesus for a cheap and safe imitation, then God's call to you is to repent. And don't walk, run back to Him. And what you will find is a loving, forgiving God ready to embrace you and to give you a new start today.